next on the 5 o'clock report.
If you're taking some type of action against the United States of America, then you're going to start a war.
We don't take threats from China. We don't take threats from anybody.
I lost everything twice that I've lost everything.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Red storm rising. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is leaving today for Asia. We know she's going to Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, and Singapore. What we don't know is whether her itinerary, as hinted by the California Democrat, also includes hotspot Taiwan.
For the speaker, it is an additional security issue, and for those traveling with me, not just members, but staff, etc.
That possibility has raised tensions between the U.S. and China to levels not seen in a long time, if ever. Yesterday, a Chinese official warned Washington is playing with fire if Pelosi visits the nation, which China claims as its own. Today, state-run media took it to a whole new level, saying if Pelosi's entourage includes any U.S. fighter jet escort, Chinese forces should fire at them and at Pelosi's plane, up to and including shooting them down. Retired General Keith Kellogg was asked by Fox News what happens if China makes good on that threat.
Start of a war. I mean, you can't, first of all, it's an insane comment to make. But if you are saying that about our Speaker of the House of the United States, regardless of political party, that if you're taking some type of action, military action against the United States of America and against our aircraft, then you're going to start a war.
Kellogg says it might be time for the U.S. to reevaluate its support of a one-China policy and support Taiwan as a free and independent nation. Florida Congresswoman Kat Chemack says it's time to stare down Beijing.
We need to be very clear, regardless if you're Republican or Democrat, we don't take threats from China. We don't take threats from anybody kindly. And we do not take our foreign policy cues from the Chinese Communist Party.
Former Special Assistant to the President Michael Allen says enough is enough.
It's time that the president lay out a comprehensive plan for the United States to deal with these efforts from China to displace us economically and militarily around Asia and around the world, and for us to get serious and wake up as a country.
Allen criticized President Biden for reportedly trying to talk Pelosi out of going to Taiwan. That threat of escalation is making a lot of folks understandably nervous. That includes former President Donald Trump, who said on a talk show today that he has concerns about the conflict over Taiwan and Russia's invasion of Ukraine snowballing into World War III. To the Russian invasion next in a war of words over which side is responsible for the slaughter of dozens of Ukrainian POWs in Belarus.
Ukrainian prisoners were captured after the fall of Mariupol in May. Russia says Ukraine's military used U.S.-supplied rocket launchers to strike the prison in the separatist east. Ukraine denies that, and its foreign minister says it's another war crime by Russia. Ukraine accuses Moscow of shelling the prison to cover up the alleged torture and execution of Ukrainians there.
CBS's Cammie McCormick. A flood of tears in Kentucky, where the governor says the deadly flooding that hit the Commonwealth has claimed the lives of several of its youngest residents.
I have received notice that they've located the bodies of those four children mentioned in the Herald Leader story today, and I know we'll be contacting their parents. It means we've got at least six dead children.
Even when it wasn't fatal, the flooding has extracted a heavy toll on many Kentuckians.
I lost everything twice. Mm-hmm. This makes twice that I've lost everything.
I've never seen it this high. It's just sad. It's just sad to imagine the devastation and just the loss.
The governor says recovery efforts may take months, if not years. Mayor Muriel Bowser requesting the help of the Washington, D.C. National Guard to assist with the ongoing arrival of immigrants from other states, which now numbers at about 4,000. Abel Nunez with the Central American Resource Center says his group has run out of money to help the immigrants.
Now we're getting up to sometimes four buses with about 40 people each.
Bowser criticized the governors of Texas and Arizona for busing the illegal migrants there, calling it a political ploy. Texas Congressman Chip Roy says, cry me a river.
It's interesting hearing the mayor of Washington, D.C., which is where I'm sitting right now, complaining about 4,000 people on 200 buses that Governor Abbott has sent to Washington, D.C. since April, running to the Pentagon saying, oh my gosh, we need the National Guard.
The mayors of Washington and New York can't appreciate what being overrun by immigrants is actually like, according to Roy. At last check, Bowser's plea has not been answered. House Democrats pushing to pass a ban on military-style assault weapons. Speaking to reporters, Nancy Pelosi said the legislation legislation will save lives. The House is expected to vote on the measure as soon as tonight, but it faces an uncertain future in the 50-50 Senate. Federal health officials have over 170 million doses of new COVID vaccines that target the Omicron variant. That's about two-thirds Pfizer, the rest Moderna, just in time for a fall booster campaign. Infectious disease expert Dr. William Schefter says that plus 100 million doses lined up from Pfizer should be enough.
We want these vaccines to be widely available and continue to be free to everyone. I would anticipate virtually all adults will be recommended to receive this new updated vaccine once it becomes available this fall.
Those new vaccines still need to be authorized by the FDA and cleared by the CDC. Consumer sentiment remains low, with inflation being a top concern for consumers. That according to a report from the University of Michigan. Although the final reading for July edged up slightly from its all-time low in June, it's still the second lowest reading on record. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a look at yesterday's Western New York tornado touchdown, remembering a fallen Rochester police officer and a tragic tractor accident in Pennsylvania.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. There could still be a little stray shower, thunder shower this evening, mainly across northeast Pennsylvania. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy to clear tonight, with low temperatures in the 50s and low 60s, a comfortable night. Tomorrow, a sun-cloud mix across New York State, mainly sunny in Pennsylvania. High temperatures will be not far from 80. And then mostly sunshine and warmer on Sunday. High temperatures Sunday well into the 80s, though cooler in the afternoon, close to Lake Erie and Lake Ontario.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. The National Weather Service has confirmed that a tornado touched down in Wyoming County yesterday. We get the details now from Family Life's Dee Haley.
An EF2 tornado touched down in Java around 10:40 yesterday morning near Chaffee and East Arcade Roads. Officials say 115-mile-per-hour winds ripped a barn from its foundation and moved it about 25 feet. No injuries were reported. According to the National Weather Service of Buffalo, the tornado was only on the ground for 15 minutes. The tornado measured about 500 yards wide and traveled about 10 miles, knocking down trees and power lines in the Java and Wethersfield areas. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. The man accused of attacking New York Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin is going to stay behind bars until more is known about his mental health. The attack happened last Thursday while Zeldin was giving a speech at a VFW post outside of Rochester. Yesterday, 43-year-old David Jacobonis faced a federal judge. His attorney said he's a mentally scarred war veteran with a drinking problem who suffers from severe anxiety and a panic disorder. Jacobonis due back in court August 24th. Zeldin was uninjured in that attack. Memorial services begin this weekend for the Rochester police officer who lost his life in the line of duty.
Mark, the wake for Anthony Mazurkiewicz is set for Sunday from 1 until 8 p.m. at the Richard Keenan Funeral Home in Fairport. On Monday, the late officer's funeral is going to be held at the Blue Cross Arena in Rochester. Mazurkiewicz died after being shot while on detail on Bonham Street by 21-year-old Kevin Vickers. His partner was injured and survived. Mazurkiewicz is the third Rochester police officer killed in the line of duty since 1984. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thanks, Tracy. An Oneida County community is coming together to support the family of a woman who lost her life in a fire earlier this week. A GoFundMe has already raised more than $25,000 to help the relatives of 35-year-old Brittany Jones. She died on Monday while trying to save her son from a fire at the family's home on Voorhees Avenue in the town of Camden. No one else was hurt. The cause of that blaze remains under investigation. New York State is suing CVS, accusing the healthcare company of diverting millions from underserved communities. Christian Marks reports.
AG Letitia James says CVS Health violated antitrust laws by requiring safety net hospitals and clinics to use CVS-owned company Well Partner to purchase drugs at a discount under a federal program and use a savings for patient care. James says the scheme led to many such healthcare providers to lose out on funding that was rightfully theirs if they didn't use Well Partner. Those that did had to pay to train their staff and change their data systems. The lawsuit seeks to recoup the critical funds. Kristen Marks, NBC News Radio, New York.
To Pennsylvania now, a tractor rollover tragedy in York County, PA today.
In the utility trailer being pulled by the tractor was 12 individuals. Those 12 individuals included an adult female.
A state police spokesman says that woman and three children have died. Others have been injured.
At the scene, the resources we have devoted are our criminal investigation unit from the York station and our collision analysis and reconstruction specialist.
The trailer flipped and rolled down an embankment, throwing all of the passengers from the trailer. A state trooper shot early this morning in western Pennsylvania is expected to be okay. The trooper was flown to a Pittsburgh-area hospital after authorities say he was shot in the leg by a man identified as Damian Ray Bradford at a mini-mart. Early this morning, police inside the store helped another trooper arrest Bradford. Bradford was previously convicted in 2006 of shooting and killing a Mercer County doctor in a murder-for-hire scheme. Hershey is warning it might have a shortage of candy later this year. Michael Kastner tells us more.
The candy company says global supply chain issues and the war in Ukraine have made it hard to get all of the ingredients, including cocoa. Halloween usually makes up about 10% of the company's annual sales. Consumers can also expect to pay more for candy because of overall inflation. I'm Michael Kastner.
And finally, a high school jazz choir from Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, was the opening act this week at a concert by a classic rock band.
Gotta take a little time. Little time to think.
Yes, Foreigner. You might have heard of them. We get more now in this report from Family Life's Greg Gillespie.
Foreigner was popular with teens in the late 70s and early 80s, but now 40 years later, the band created new popularity among some of today's teenagers in Northwest Pennsylvania. Before Foreigner's show at Erie's Warner Theater, the jazz choir from General McLean High School took the stage for a cappella versions of four pop hits. Student Michaela Hargis told Jet TV how the choir's director told them about the special invitation.
Mr. Yates said, yeah, we're going to be performing for this big band. I'm like, oh, cool, who is it? And he goes, Foreigner. I'm like, are you serious?
The band's current lineup invites a local school group to be an opening act at each stop of their summer tour. The purpose? To promote the value of music education in schools' curriculum offerings. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
All right, thanks, Greg. Your nightly market report is next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
The major indexes today all wrapping up their most positive month of trading for the current year. After the close yesterday, Amazon reported lower than expected earnings, though their stock price surged 10% due to better than projected revenue. Apple beat on both earnings and revenue, and their positive forward guidance may have helped with investor sentiment. Consumer spending numbers for June came in larger than expected, which can be an inflationary indicator. Oil was up slightly, ending today at $98 per barrel. The Dow gaining 315 points, the S&P 500 adding 57, and the Nasdaq rose 228. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
All right, thanks, Dave. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Hi, I'm Rob West with another Money Wise Minute. Here are two ways to spend money more wisely. One will cost you a dollar, and the other one's free. Here's number one. The next time you want to buy something, reach into your wallet, pull out a dollar bill, and take a good long look at George Washington's portrait. It's been described as the face your mother gives you when you're about to make a bad decision. Would your mother encourage you to save your money or spend it? Here's number two. When you're faced with any spending decision, ask God for wisdom and follow His leading. As the Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
All righty, still coming up on the 5 o'clock report. Boldly going where no wallet has gone before.
Space, the final frontier.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Maybe you're heading to a county fair or a ball game. You're going to spend some time at the cottage or on the bike. Whatever your pleasure, the weekend weather looks pleasant. Slap on the sunscreen. Now, in the short term, there could still be a little stray shower, thundershower this evening, mainly across northeast Pennsylvania. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy to clear tonight with low temperatures in the 50s and low 60s, a comfortable night. Tomorrow, a sun-cloud mix across New York State, mainly sunny in Pennsylvania. High temperatures will be not far from 80. And then mostly sunshine and warmer on Sunday. High temperatures Sunday well into the 80s, though cooler in the afternoon, close to Lake Erie and Lake Ontario.
All right, thank you very much, Kevin. And finally at 5, far as we know, the USS Enterprise never visited any intergalactic fruit stands during its 5-year mission, which NBC cut short after 3. But Captain Kirk, a.k.a. actor William Shatner, did visit one recently in Northern California. to get some corn and some cherries. He didn't leave behind his phaser, but he did leave behind his wallet. The farmer's daughter found it, looked at the ID, which meant nothing to her, but she handed it to her dad. He took a look at the license and said, "You've got to be kidding me." Now, he told a friend who told the Beverly Hills cops, who told Shatner's agent, who eventually was able to reunite the 91-year-old actor with his wallet. Shatner took to Twitter to express his appreciation to the farmer and his daughter for their extreme honesty on returning his lost wallet. The farmer says he's thinking of putting up a sign at his fruit stand now saying, "William Shatner was here." Guess that's one way to live long and prosper. Well, beam us up, Scotty. That's the world we live in for Friday, July 29th, 2022. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a blessed weekend. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.